Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 485. Seated, we'll sing Amazing Grace, page 236.
Save a wretch Let's look together in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Last week we talked about God slaying Herod because he gave not God the glory. Now we're going to talk about the God sending out people to preach. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manahan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Our blessed Savior, our glorious, gracious, eternal God, what a joy it is to be able to come into your presence, come unto a throne of grace, come to a throne where grace reigns, and grace came through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace that came to where we were, found us, saved us, and keeps us saved day in and day out. Oh, thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, we've gathered here this evening to worship. We've gathered here to look into your holy word. We're like Sergius Paulus. We're here to desire to hear the word of God. And so bless us as we've gathered together. Enable me to speak. Enable me to be a blessing, to establish the saints in the faith. Forgive us of everything that's unlike you. And for those who are not with us through sickness and frailty and weakness of body, Lord, please be with them. God, encourage them and strengthen them and raise them up to your glory and the good of all. And Lord, we ask for your presence and power here in this service tonight. For Christ's sake, amen.
Worship him. We've come into this house. We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house and gathered in Worship him.
So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. So let's lift up holy faith, magnify His name and worship Him. So let's lift up holy faith and magnify His name and worship Him. So let's lift up holy faith and magnify His name. He is all my righteousness, I stand in Him complete and worship Him. He is all my righteousness, I stand in Him complete and worship Him. He is all my righteousness, I stand in Him complete and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Well,
you go back to Acts 13. We had a wonderful weekend, had some of the best fellowship, good food, and I listened to both messages of Cody from Sunday, and that one Sunday night of Shirley. I've never heard that before. That was a new one on me, and you know how I laugh, you know, when I get happy. Well, I've done a lot of laughing listening to that, and a lot of joyful. Amen. And then in that great gulf fixed, especially when he went over there and talked about the great gulf fixed between us and God, that was really something. God's really got His hand on that young man, and I am so thankful, so thankful. I was so blessed by it. It's wonderful to be able to leave and know that somebody could, you know, and what gets me, and this is how you can tell if somebody's called to preach, they're not grasping for verses. The Lord was just blessing him, you know. You can tell when somebody studies, you can tell when somebody prepares and reads a lot, because they're not searching for scriptures. I mean, the Lord blesses them. Their memory, God blesses them. And that's what He's doing with Cody right now, I feel like, anyway. All right, my title of my message this evening, Before the Lord Ascended, it's called The Laborer Sent to the Harvest. Laborer Sent into the Harvest. Before our Lord ascended, remember, He gave the apostles a commission to preach the gospel. Now, you keep Acts 13. Look back over here in chapter 1 and verse 8. Chapter 1 and verse 8. And look what He said when He gave His disciples the commission here. He said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, that's where the gospel started. And then all over Judea. Then go to Samaria. And that's where they were at when the Ethiopian eunuch was preached to. And then he said, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now that's what's starting tonight. They're going into the uttermost. They started Jerusalem, went all over Israel, all over Judea, went down to Samaria, and now they're going unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what's happening now. He called his apostles, he called his preachers to be witnesses of him. Who he is, not who he was. What he said, what he did. You know, when you witness to anybody about Christ, you witness as to who he is. He was a Savior here, he's a Savior there. He was Lord here, he's Lord there. He's King here, he's King there. He's Redeemer here, he's Redeemer there. Everything he was on this earth, he is there. He's our Comforter, he's our stay, he's our salvation, he's everything, he's our righteousness. Everything that he was here, he is there. And so that's why they said we preach who he is, not what he was. Because what he is, he's always been and always will be. No, Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. And again, we're confronted with how shall they hear without a preacher? These fellows are going to be sent out. A preacher was sent to Cornelius, the first Gentile. Preacher was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch, one man. One man. And so God always has a preacher to preach the gospel to somebody. And here's the Holy Ghost in these verses separating, calling, and commissioning preachers to go forth and witness the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the gospel of the grace of God. Preach the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to notice this church here now. Look what it says. Now there was in the church that was Antioch. Antioch. There was a church in Antioch. And prophets and teachers and Simeon and all. They had Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Naam, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Now, this church in Antioch, and this Antioch, there's two different Antiochs. There's one in Syria, a little ways east, north of Jerusalem, or north of Israel. But you know how this is, and the church is always, when you hear about a church in the Scriptures, it was the church at Galatia, the church at Colossae, the church at Thessalonica. And here's the church at Antioch, a group of believers at Antioch. Now let me show you how this church started back over in chapter 11. There was a time that this church didn't exist. There was a time that it didn't exist. And then there's a church at Jerusalem, there's churches. And just like here, you know, they said the church was at Antioch. If you ask about a church, you say, well, we're the church in Cumberland County. We're the church in Crossville, Tennessee. And as far as I know, we're the only church. There's a lot of buildings, and there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of preachers, and there's a lot of rigmarole, and a lot of witnessing and testifying, and all kinds of things going on. But to have a church where Christ is head, where Christ is priest, where Christ is witnessed about, That's a horse of another color. But now look what he said here in Acts chapter 11. This is how the church started. Look down here in verse 19. After Stephen was stoned to death, now they which were scattered abroad, they had to go out now upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. They traveled, these disciples did. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, spake unto Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. and the hand of the Lord was with them. And that's what we need. We need God's hand for us. And a great number believed, and I tell you what, and they turned to the Lord. And then came tidings of these things. Now listen to this. Then they started hearing these things at the church in Jerusalem. Now see, there's a big church, a group of believers in Jerusalem. And they said, they sent forth Barnabas. Barnabas, you go down there and see, go as far as Antioch and see what's going on down there. Who, when he came, and had, now listen to this, and had seen the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? You see it in what God does for believers, what God does in conversion. The only way you can see the grace of God is for God to save somebody and manifest grace in them by their confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They went down there and said, boy, God's blessed this place. Grace is growing here. Grace has been to this place. Grace has saved some of these people. And oh my, and he was glad. The grace of God will make you glad, won't it? And look what else he went on to say now. And he said, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Purpose it that you're going to stay on Christ, believe Christ. And he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord when he went down there. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And when he had found him, listen to this now, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year Barnabas and Saul, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And listen to this. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. First place. So this is where this church is at. That's how it became into being. How it came to exist. And it was a well-taught church. Back over here in Acts 13. Well-taught church. And look what it says. Now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets. Certain prophets and teachers. Now, I'll tell you what, you notice that's in the prophets, not a prophet, prophets. More in prophets is the same thing as being a preacher. And that's what they were prophets. And then there was several prophets there, and then there were teachers. That's in the plural too. So there was several teachers there, and they were teaching. And so they were a well-taught church. Prophets, and it's in the plural. You know, I was talking to Daniel Parks, and he's going out to Montana to pastor, going out there next month, going to be their pastor. And he said, we was talking about it, and what a wonderful group of believers there is out there. And the first thing old Daniel said, says, boy, John Mitchell taught them well, didn't he? John Mitchell taught them well. They're a well-taught body of believers. And it's just like when Scott, when he was at Fairmont, they was well-taught people. And that's what they said here. These people are well-taught. Well-taught. Taught in the scriptures. And these prophets and teachers, it tells us who they are. Well, there was Barnabas. Old Barnabas. He's one that went down there the first time, stayed for a while. And then there was Simeon that was called Niger. And you know, Barnabas was a Levite, a Jewish priest from Cyprus. It told us that over in Acts chapter 4. And then there's Simeon called Niger. His name means that he's black. So he was an African. He was a black man. And then there's Lucian of Cyrenia. He's a Roman. He's got a Roman name. And they were men from Cyprus and Cyrene that were the first to go to Antioch and preach to the Greeks that were there, the Gentiles that was there. And then they said there was this man named Menahem, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now see, here's it tells us in the margin that he was half brother to Herod. So they was raised together. Herod was a powerful man. And here's Menahem, his half brother, raised in a prestigious, powerful family, prominent family. A man, he would have been a prince, really, what they would have called him is a prince. And here he is, here's the power of the gospel to put all in the same place. I mean, you know, it didn't make you, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're high-born or low-born, educated or uneducated, the gospel, one thing the gospel does, it puts all people on the same level. Two things level men in this world. Two things. The gospel makes all men to be the same, all saved the same way, and death is the great leveler of all men. It takes the big and the little, and it takes all in between. And so here they are at this church. And Haran and Menahem were, they was raised up together. And there was five Herods. This is the third one, right here. This Herod here, they were brought up together. But this is the Herod that killed John the Baptist. This is the one had his head took off. He come and he heard John gladly, but when his stepdaughter said, I want his mother, her mother wanted his head, well, he got it. And he was the one that took the Lord Jesus Christ and put him on trial. The same one. And I tell you, he had no desire for light. He loved his darkness. He loved his darkness. And this man, Menahem, was brought up with him, raised in the same home, raised by the same people, in a high-born home, and yet there's a great difference in them. And I tell you, one becomes a believer, one stays an infidel. One is brought into the light, one's left in his darkness. And who made the difference between these two men? Who made the difference between Herod, who killed John the Baptist, and who made his half-brother to become a believer? There's only one reason that there's the difference. And then the last one in there that was a teacher is Saul. And Saul, we all know he was a former Pharisee. He was a persecutor. He hated the church. He persecuted the church, pursued them unto death. And now he's building up the faith that he once destroyed. And all these different prophets and all these different teachers, they all tell us that the gospel is the same for Jew or Gentile, bond or free, Roman or slave. It don't make any difference. The gospel is the same for all. Oh my, all same for all. Then look what else about this church. Not only was it a well-taught church, but it was a worshiping church. It says in verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord, ministered to the Lord and fasted. And then down in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed. This was a worshiping church. They ministered to the Lord. What does that mean, minister to the Lord? That means that they was interested in Christ. They, you know, whatever, Paul said this, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. If you give thanks, do it unto the Lord. If you give, it's unto the Lord. If you pray, you pray unto the Lord. Everything you do, let it all be done unto the Lord. Whether you give, pray, preach, whatever, it's unto the Lord. And that's what they would do. They were ministering unto the Lord. They were teaching Christ, and they were ministering, and they'll listen. And then they were a praying church, and they prayed. I mean, they believed in prayer. These folks believed in prayer. And not only was it a ministering, you know, worshiping church, but look what else is said about them. They was a seeking church. As they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, unto the work which we have called me. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. They were a seeking church. Why was they fasting and why was they praying? Why was they fasting and praying? God, I believe that they were seeking the will of God. Lord, what would you have us to do? Where would you have us to go? Who do you need? What direction do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? There's plenty of preachers here, plenty of teachers here. So what would you have us to do? And that's what I think they were doing, praying for the will of God, praying for his direction. And then look what happens here. They get called. And look what he said. And down in verse 3, and it said, separate me, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. The call of Barnabas and Saul. Well, who called them? The Holy Ghost did. Same one that called us to Christ. Same one that taught us the gospel. Same one that regenerated us. The church didn't call them. They didn't call themselves and say, well, I believe I'll go over here and preach. I believe I'll go over yonder and preach. No, no. They waved on God. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me. Separate me. Call them. And if they're going to go out and preach, they can't do it in their own strength. They understand that. Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? They can't do it in their own strength. It's the Lord's work. And who is sufficient for these things? Our Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. And these men understood that. If I'm going to go preach, I can't go on my own strength. I can't choose where I go and can't choose what I'm going to do. I can't choose what I'm going to preach. And that's why I said the Holy Ghost separated them. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost is not a power for us to use. He's a person that uses us. He's a person that teaches us. He's a person that blesses us. He's a person that brings Christ to us. And I tell you, you remember Acts 8 when Simon Magus, he saw the Peter and John and James and them laying hands on people and they receiving the Holy Ghost. Well, he reached in his pocket and he said, I like that power. I like that power. Listen, let me pay for it. I'm going to give you some money and you give me this power. And he wanted to use the power when the power has to use us, because we don't have no power if he don't use us. Oh, my. And the Holy Spirit's laying hold of Paul and Barnabas. And the call was from above. Oh, my. The Holy Ghost said. Ain't that what it says? And the Holy Ghost said. How do you reckon he said it? I don't know. But he spoke. He spoke. I don't know how he spoke. But he said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. It was a personal call. He only picked out two men. It was a personal call. I got to work for Barnabas and I got to work for Saul. And it was a personal call. And God always calls people personally. And it not only was it a personal call, but it was a call to separation. Look what he says. Separate me. Separate me. It was a call to separation. Separated unto the gospel. Separated unto Christ. Separated unto the church. Separated. Separate them. Take them apart from everybody else. Set them apart from everybody else. And then, oh my, and it was a call to work. Well, look what he said. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Listen to this. For the work, they're called to a work whereunto I've called them. They're called to a work. For the work I called them to. Well, they ministered, they fasted, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. And then look what happens now. They sent forth by the Holy, and then verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And then John Mark, the man who wrote Mark, is who that John is. And you know they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. You remember when Moses was, God said, you know, I'm going to send you out. You got to go. And Moses said, Lord, in Acts 33, he said, Lord, don't send us. Don't send us. I don't want to go unless you go with me. And that's what these fellows said. I don't want to go unless you go with me. And that's what happened. The Holy Ghost separated them. And it says, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, they preached the word. They didn't preach their opinions. They didn't preach law. They didn't preach works. They preached the word of God. And then he goes on to say, and they went to Seleucia, and then they went to Cyprus. Cyprus is an island just right below Greece. And look what it says, and that's where Barnabas was from. And when they got down on Cyprus, there's a little place there called Salamis. They preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. Of the Jews. And listen to this. So they was going over Cyprus. And when they had gone through that isle of Cyprus, they come to a place called Paphos. And they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name is Bar-Jesus. And this one place he distinguishes above all the rest of them. Why did he distinguish this? Because there's an enemy of the gospel there. There's a man there that despises God, despises Christ, despises the gospel, and tried to keep somebody from believing the gospel. And it said he was a sorcerer. He was a sorcerer, a false prophet, a sorcerer. And I tell you what, a false prophet. He was a Jew. And when you see that word Bar there, that means the son of, Bar Jesus, the son of Jesus. And you notice that's not capitalized either. And what they are, they pretend to do magic. They pretend to have power. They purpose to, do acts of witchcraft. Witchcraft. It's like today going to these fortune tellers. Same difference going to a fortune teller. Going to somebody that can tell you what's going on in your mind and all that. That's what these fellas were. They were sorcerers. They used witchcraft. They used all kinds of magic to make people think that they have some great ability. No, they used it to get in positions of power. And then look what it says down verse 8 about this sorcerer. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now here's the thing about it. This word Elymas, you know, by interpretation, you know what that means? That means he's wise. That's what it means. He's wise. That he's wise. How can a man that like that, but that's what his name means by interpretation. But here comes verse 7. Now look at this. So this Jew was with the deputy. He was close to this deputy of the country, a man who was the authority in that particular part of Cyprus. He was a Roman, Sergius Paulus. And it says he was a prudent man. A prudent man means wise and understanding, that he's sharp in his mind. He thinks things through. But this sorcerer withstood them and didn't want this deputy to believe from the faith. He said he wanted to turn him away, the deputy, away from the faith. Oh my. That's what happens. You know, a lot of times when somebody starts getting some interest in the gospel, if they go home and talk to their family, go home, tell their mom and dad and their brothers and sisters, and they go somewhere else, they'll start immediately trying to talk you out of it. Immediately try. Oh, listen, honey, you know that you know we don't believe that. You know, oh, listen, stay away from that. Stay away from that. But oh my, and that's what this man said. He said he was close to this deputy, Sergius Paulus. He said, and when Paul and Barnabas started preaching to him, he immediately interrupted them and tried to get them. Listen, don't pay no attention to these men. Don't hear anything they got to say. These men don't know nothing. I'm the one that's got the power around here. I'm the one that can teach you things and help you out. He didn't, and he stood, withstood him to the faith. Well, look how this enemy is exposed. Look down verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, this is the first time he's called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost come upon him in a powerful, powerful way. And he looked at this man intensely, set his eyes on him. I mean, he looked at him with an intense look, set his eyes on him. And I bet this old boy, this old Elymas was sitting there. He said, why is he looking at me like that? What's he looking at me like that? Oh, my. And look what Paul told him, he said. Oh, first thing he said, all full of subtlety. You're crafty. You're subtle. And you're full of mischievous. You're mischief. You want to cause trouble everywhere you go. Stir things up. Then he said, you're a child of the devil. That's what our Lord said about the Jews. He said, your father's the devil. And here he says, oh, you child of the devil. You're a child of Satan. You're a child of the devil himself. And he said, listen, you're an enemy of righteousness, all righteousness. You don't like righteousness. You don't want to be righteous. And you don't want nobody else to be righteous. And then he said, will you not cease? Will you never stop to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Will you ever stop when somebody comes in here with the word of God? Will you never stop to try to take what they say and pervert it and twist it? Oh, no. And then look what he said. He pronounced judgment on him. He rebuked him. Then he pronounced judgment on him. And now, he said, behold, the hand of the Lord's upon you. God stretched forth his hand. He's going to do something. And he said, you're going to be blind. You're going to be blind. You love blindness. You love darkness. God's going to put you in darkness. And you're going to be blind. And you're not going to see the sun for a season. And immediately, when Paul said that, a mist and a darkness came upon him. And he had somebody please guide me around. Somebody come here and get my arm, get my hand, and take me where I need to go. And oh my. So I tell you what, and then look what else. Then God saves a man. God saves a man. Then the deputy, the one that this fellow was trying to turn away from the faith. The deputy, when he saw what was done, listen to this, he believed, being astonished at the dark doctrine of the Lord. He believed. He became a believer. He saw what was done. He said, Paul comes up here preaching grace. Paul comes up here preaching Christ. And here's this fella tried to withstand him. And he saw what God did. And he heard what Paul said to this man. He saw that he was turned blind. He seen something about the judgment of God and the mercy of God. And I tell you what, and he saw God's power. He saw God's judgment. And he believed. And look what it said. He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. What kind of God is it that would take a man and turn him blind? What kind of God is it that would sit judgment upon a man that's against God, against Christ, and against the gospel? And oh my, and they were astonished at what they taught him. And here he was astonished that God's a God of judgment, but he's also a God of mercy. And believe me, after that happened, we don't know what was actually said, but I believe Paul and Barnabas began to preach the gospel to him, and he said, I've never seen a God like this. That's what Rahab said. When they come, the spies come, they said, we know that your God is the only true and living God. And that he alone, he was the one who parted the Red Sea. He's the one who destroyed them in Egypt. He's the one who brought Israel in here. And oh, listen, if you'll ask him, please, 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 tell him about me and save me. Let me be saved. And I'll tell you what, God does what he pleases. And one thing old Scott used to say all the time, he said, if you're fighting with God, you're fighting a war you can't win. You ain't going to win. You're not going to win with him. You're not going to do it. Guess who's going to win? Guess who's got all the power? Guess who's got all the strength? Guess who gets all the glory? Our Father, in the blessed name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to meet here this evening. Thank you for your word that we can go verse by verse and see what you do, see what you've done. And Lord, we're like those believers there. We're like Barnabas and Saul. We can't go out and do anything without you. We have no strength. We have no abilities. We only have what you've given us. And oh Lord, we only know what you've taught us. And so, Lord, we're going to do like Barnabas did. Said we're going to, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. We purpose here as a body of believers to embrace our Lord Jesus Christ, bow to him, submit to him, and love him, and honor him, and glorify Him, not only with what we say and in our worship, but with our tongues, our hearts, our feet, our eyes, our ears. God, help us to glorify Your Son and bring honor and glory to You too. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, He is all I need. See you Sunday, God willing. Good night and God